this book, if you read regularly, try to understand, this means you are associating with Srila Rupa Goswami directly. And if you act accordingly, then you are serving their lotus feet. Tadero Charano Sevi.
Vacho Degam Manasa Krodha Degam Jihva Degam Udaro Pastha Degam Etam Degam Yo Shahit Dhiraha Saravam Pimam Prithivim Sashishyat.
A sober person who can tolerate the urge to speak, the mind's demands, the actions of anger, and the urges of the tongue, belly, and genitals, is qualified to make disciples all over the world. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In Srimad Bhagavatam 6, 1, 9, and 10, Parikshit Maharaj placed a number of intelligent questions before Sukadeva Goswami. One of these questions was, why do people undergo atonement if they cannot control their senses? For instance, a thief may know perfectly well that he will be arrested for his stealing, and he may actually see a thief arrested by the police, yet he continues to steal. Experience is gathered by hearing and seeing. One who is less intelligent gathers experience by seeing, and one who is more intelligent gathers experience by hearing. When an intelligent person hears from law books and shastra or scriptures that stealing is not good and hears that a thief is punished when arrested, he refrains from theft. A less intelligent person may first have to be arrested and punished for stealing to learn to stop stealing. However, a rascal, a foolish man, may have the experience of both hearing and seeing, and may even be punished, but still he continues to steal, even if such a person atones and is punished by the government. He will again commit theft as soon as he comes out of jail. If punishment in jail is considered atonement, what is the benefit of such atonement? Thus Maharaj Parikshit inquired, Drishtyashrutabhyam yat papam Janhan apiatmano hitam, karoti buyo visvasa, prayastitam atokatam, kvachin nivartate badrat, kvachit charitita puna, pasyachitam atopartam, manye kunjara sochavat. He compared atonement to an elephant's bathing. The elephant may take a very nice bath in the river, but as soon as it comes onto the bank, it throws dirt all over its body. What then is the value of its bathing? Similarly, many spiritual practitioners chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and at the same time commit many forbidden things, thinking that their chanting will counteract their offenses. Of the 10 types of offenses one can commit while chanting the holy name of the Lord, this offense is called Namno Baladyasya Hipapabudhi, committing sinful activities on the strength of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Similarly, certain Christians go to church to confess their sins, thinking that confessing their sins before a priest and performing some penance will relieve them from the results of their weekly sins. As soon as Saturday is over and Sunday comes, they again begin their sinful activities, expecting to be forgiven the next Saturday. This kind of prayaschita, or atonement, is condemned by Parikshit Maharaj, the most intelligent king of his time. Sukadev Goswami, equally intelligent, as befitting the spiritual master of Maharaj Parikshit, answered the king and confirmed that his statement concerning atonement was correct. A sinful activity cannot be counteracted by a pious activity. Thus, real prayaschitta, atonement, is the awakening of our dormant Krishna consciousness. Real atonement involves coming to real knowledge, and for this, there is a standard process. When one follows a regulated hygienic process, he does not fall sick. A human being is meant to be trained according to certain principles to revive his original knowledge. Such a methodical life is described as tapasya. One can be gradually elevated to the standard of real knowledge or Krishna consciousness by practicing austerity and celibacy, brahmacharya, by controlling the mind, by controlling the senses, by giving up one's possessions in charity, by being avowedly truthful, by keeping clean, and by practicing yoga asanas. However, if one is fortunate enough to get the association of a pure devotee, he can easily surpass all the practices for controlling the mind by the mystic yoga process, simply by following the regulative principles of Krishna consciousness, refraining from illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling, and by engaging in the service of the Supreme Lord under the direction of the bona fide spiritual master. This easy process is being recommended by Srila Rupa Goswami. First, one must control his speaking power. Every one of us has the power of speech. As soon as we get the opportunity, we begin to speak. If we do not speak about Krishna consciousness, we speak all sorts of nonsense. A toad in the field speaks by croaking. And similarly, everyone who has a tongue wants to speak, even if all he has to say is nonsense. The croaking of the toad, however, simply invites the snake, "Please come here and eat me." Nevertheless, although it is inviting death, the toad goes on croaking. The talking of materialistic men and impersonalist Mayavadi philosophers may be compared to the croaking of frogs. They are always speaking nonsense and thus inviting death to catch them. Controlling speech, however, does not mean self-imposed silence, the external process of mona, as Mayavadi philosophers think. Silence may appear helpful for some time, but ultimately it proves a failure. The meaning of controlled speech conveyed by Srila Rupa Goswami advocates the positive process of Krishna Katha, engaging the speaking process in glorifying the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. The tongue can thus glorify the name, form, qualities, and pastimes of the Lord. The preacher of Krishna Katha is always beyond the clutches of death. This is the significance of controlling the urge to speak. The restlessness or fickleness of the mind, mano vega, is controlled when one can fix his mind on the lotus feet of Krishna. The Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 22:31 says, "Krishna Surya Sama Maya Haya Andhakar Yahan Krishna Tahan Nahi Mayara Adhikar." Krishna is just like the sun, and Maya is just like darkness. If the sun is present, there is no question of darkness. Similarly, if Krishna is present in the mind, there is no possibilities of the mind's being agitated by Maya's influence. The yogic process of negating all material thoughts will not help. To try to create a vacuum in the mind is artificial. The vacuum will not remain. However, if one always thinks of Krishna and how to serve Krishna best, one's mind will naturally be controlled. Similarly, anger can be controlled. We cannot stop anger altogether. But if we simply become angry with those who blaspheme the Lord or the Lord's devotees, we control our anger in Krishna consciousness. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became angry with the miscreant brothers, Jagai and Madai, who blasphemed and struck Nityananda Prabhu. In his Shikshastika, Lord Chaitanya wrote, Trinadapi sunichena, taror api sahishnuna. One should be humbler than the grass and more tolerant than the tree. One may then ask why the Lord exhibited his anger. The point is that one should be ready to tolerate all insults to oneself. But when Krishna or his pure devotee is blasphemed, a genuine devotee becomes angry and acts like fire against the offender. Krodha, anger, cannot be stopped, but it can be applied rightly. It was in anger that Hanuman set fire to Lanka, but he is worshipped as the greatest devotee of Lord Ramachandra. This means that he utilized his anger in the right way. Arjuna serves as another example. He was not willing to fight, but Krishna incited his anger. You must fight. To fight without anger is not possible. Anger is controlled, however, when utilized in the service of the Lord. As far as urges of the tongue, we all experience that the tongue wants to eat palatable dishes. Generally, we should not allow the tongue to eat according to its choice, but should control the tongue by supplying prasad. The devotee's attitude is that he will eat only when Krishna gives him prasad. That is the way to control the urge of the tongue. One should take prasad at scheduled times and should not eat in restaurants or sweetmeat shops simply to satisfy the whims of the tongue or belly. If we stick to the principle of taking only prasad, the urges of the belly and tongue can be controlled. In a similar manner, the urges of the genitals, the sex impulse, can be controlled when not used unnecessarily. The genitals should be used to beget a Krishna conscious child. Otherwise, they should not be used. The Krishna consciousness movement encourages marriage, not for the satisfaction of the genitals, but for the begetting of Krishna conscious children. As soon as the children are a little grown up, they are sent to our Gurukul school in Dallas, Texas, where they are trained to become fully Krishna conscious devotees. Many such Krishna conscious children are required, and one who is capable of bringing forth Krishna conscious offspring is allowed to utilize his genitals. When one is fully practiced in the methods of Krishna conscious control, he can become qualified to be a bona fide spiritual master. In his Anuvritti, explanation of Upadeshamrita, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes that our material identification creates three kinds of urges: the urge to speak, the urge or demands of the mind, and the demands of the body. When a living entity falls victim to these three types of urges, his life becomes inauspicious. One who practices resisting these demands or urges is called tapasvi, or one who practices austerities. By such tapasya, one can overcome victimization by the material energy, the external potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When we refer to the urge to speak, we refer to the useless talking, such as that of the impersonal Mayavadi philosophers, or of persons engaged in fruitive activities, technically called karma kanda, or of materialistic people who simply want to enjoy life without restriction. All such talks or literatures are practical exhibitions of the urge to speak. Many people are talking nonsensically and writing volumes of useless books, and all this is the result of the urge to speak. To counteract this tendency, we have to divert our talking to the subject of Krishna. This is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam 1, 5, 10, and 11. Nayad vachas chitra padam harayaryaso jagat pavitram pagrinita karhi chit tadvayasam tirtham ushanti manasa nayatrahamsa neramantyu shikshayo. Those words which do not describe the glories of the Lord, who alone can sanctify the atmosphere of the whole universe, are considered by saintly persons to be like unto a place of pilgrimage for crows. Since the all-perfect persons are inhabitants of the transcendental abode, they do not derive any pleasure there. Tadvagvisargo jagannatha viplavo yasmin prati shlokam abhadyavatyapi namanyanantas yaso nikitani yat shrinvanti gayanti grinanti sadhava. On the other hand, that literature which is full of descriptions of the transcendental glories of the name, fame, form, pastimes, etc., of the unlimited Supreme Lord, is a different creation, full of transcendental words, directed towards bringing about a revolution in the impious lives of the world's misdirected civilization. Such transcendental literatures, even though imperfectly composed, are heard, sung, and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest. The conclusion is that only when we talk about devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead can we refrain from useless, nonsensical talk. We should always endeavor to use our speaking power solely for the purpose of realizing Krishna consciousness. As for the agitations of the flickering mind, they are divided into two divisions. The first is called avirodha priti, or unrestricted attachment, and the other is called virodha yukta krodha, anger arising from frustration. Adherence to the philosophy of the Mayavadis, belief in the fruitive results of karmavadis, and belief in the plans based on materialistic desires are called avirodha priti. Gyanis, karmis, and materialistic plan makers generally attract the attention of conditioned souls. But when the materialists cannot fulfill their plans, and when their devices are frustrated, they become angry. Frustration of material desires produces anger. Similarly, the demands of the body can be divided into three categories: the demands of the tongue, the belly, and the genitals. One may observe that these three senses are physically situated in a straight line, as far as the body is concerned, and that the bodily demands begin with the tongue. If one can restrain the demands of the tongue by limiting its activities to the eating of prasad, then the urges of the belly and the genitals can automatically be controlled. In this connection, Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur says, Sarida avidjajal jotendriya tehekal jivapale vishaya sagare taramadye jivayati lobamaya saduramati takejeta kotina samsare Krishna Badadayamai, Karibara Jivajai, Svaprasad Anadilobai, Sain Amritakao, Radha Krishna Gunagao, Premedako Chaitanyanitai. O Lord, this material body is a lump of ignorance, and the senses are a network of paths leading to death. Somehow or other, we have fallen into this ocean of material sense enjoyment. And of all the senses, the tongue is the most voracious and uncontrollable. It is very difficult to conquer the tongue in this world. But you, dear Krishna, are very kind to us. You have sent this nice prasad to help us conquer the tongue. Therefore, let us take this prasad to our full satisfaction and glorify your lordships, Sisi Radha and Krishna, and in love, call for the help of Lord Chaitanya and Prabhu Nityananda. There are six kinds of rasas, tastes, and if one is agitated by any of them, he becomes controlled by the urges of the tongue. Some persons are attracted to the eating of meat, fish, crabs, eggs, and other things produced by semen and blood, and eaten in the form of dead bodies. Others are attracted by eating vegetables, creepers, spinach, or milk products, but all for the satisfaction of the tongue's demands. Such eating for sense gratification, including the use of extra quantities of spices like chili and tamarind, is to be given up by Krishna-conscious persons. The use of pan, haritaki, betel nuts, various spices used in pan making, tobacco, LSD, marijuana, opium, liquor, coffee, and tea is indulged in to fulfill illicit demands. If we can practice accepting only remnants of food offered to Krishna, it is possible to get freed from Maya's victimization. Vegetables, grains, fruits, milk products, and water are proper foods to offer to the Lord, as Lord Krishna himself prescribes. However, if one accepts prasad only because of its palatable taste, and thus eats too much, he also falls prey to trying to satisfy the demands of the tongue. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us to avoid very palatable dishes, even while eating prasad. If we offer palatable dishes to the deity with the intention of eating such nice food, we are involved in trying to satisfy the demands of the tongue. If we accept the invitation of a rich man with the idea of receiving palatable food, we are also trying to satisfy the demands of the tongue. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya 6.227, it is stated, Jivhara lalase ye iti uti doi, shishno dara parayana krishna nahi pai. That person who runs here and there seeking to gratify his palate, and who is always attached to the desires of his stomach and genitals, is unable to attain Krishna. As stated before, the tongue, belly, and genitals are situated in a straight line, and they fall in the same category. Lord Chaitanya has said, Balana kaibe ar, balana paribe. Do not dress luxuriously, and do not eat delicious foodstuffs. Those who suffer from diseases of the stomach must be unable to control the urges of the belly, at least according to this analysis. When we desire to eat more than necessary, we automatically create many inconveniences in life. However, if we observe fasting days like Ekadasi and Janmashtami, we can restrain the demands of the belly. As far as the urges of the genitals are concerned, there are two, proper and improper, or legal and illicit sex. When a man is properly mature, he can marry according to the rules and regulations of the Shastra and use his genitals for begetting nice children. That is legal and religious. Otherwise, he may adopt many artificial means to satisfy the demands of the genitals, and he may not use any restraint. When one indulges in illicit sex life, as defined by the Shastras, either by thinking, planning, talking about, or actually having sexual intercourse, or by satisfying the genitals by artificial means, he is caught in the clutches of Maya. These instructions apply not only to householders, but also to tyagis, or those who are in the renounced order of life. In his book, Prema Vivarta, Chapter 7, Srila Jagadananda Pandit says, Vairagi bhai gramyakata na sunibe kane, gramya avrata na kahibe, yabe milibe ane. Swapane o na kare bai, stri sambasana, grihe stri chadia bai, asi yache vana. Yari chaha pranaya rakite, gorong gera sone, chota hodida sera kata, take yena mane. Bala na kahibe ar, bala na paribe, hridayete Radha Krishna sarvada sevibe. My dear brother, you are in the renounced order of life and should not listen to talk about ordinary, worldly things. Nor should you talk about worldly things when you meet with others. Do not think of women, even in dreams. You have accepted the renounced order of life with a vow that forbids you to associate with women. If you wish to associate with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you must always remember the incident of Chota Haridas and how he was rejected by the Lord. Do not eat luxurious dishes or dress in fine garments, but always remain humble and serve their lordships, Sri Sri Radha Krishna, in your heart of hearts. The conclusion is that one who can control these six items, speech, mind, anger, tongue, belly, and genitals, is to be called a Swami or Goswami. Swami means master, and Goswami means master of the go, or senses. When one accepts the renounced order of life, he automatically assumes the title of Swami. This does not mean that he is a master of his family, community, or society. He must be master of his senses. Unless one is master of his senses, he should not be called a Goswami, but Godas, servant of the senses. Following in the footsteps of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, all Swamis and Goswamis should fully engage in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. As opposed to this, the Godasas engage in the service of the senses, or in the service of this material world. They have no other engagement. Prahlad Maharaj has further described the Godas as Adantago, which refers to one whose senses are not controlled. An Adantago cannot become a servant of Krishna. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 7:5:30, Prahlad Maharaj has said, Matir na Krishne parata svatova, mito bipadyeta grihat vatanam, adantago bir visatam dhamisram, puna punas charita charvananam. For those who have decided to continue their existence in this material world for the gratification of their senses, there is no chance of becoming Krishna conscious, not by personal endeavor, by instructions from others, or by joint conferences. They are dragged by the unbridled senses into the darkest region of ignorance, and thus they madly engage in what is called chewing the chewed.